Perky fever, got me here as a beaver. Got me waiting for winter, got me praying for snow. Perky fever, I'm a true believer. Just give me to the start line, I'll be ready to go. Give me to the start line, I'll be ready to go.
Ah, a little music there about the Birkebeiner to get you in the mood. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Birkebeiner ski race. This year it will be spread out over 5 days, February 24th through the 28th. And with us to talk about the event is Ben Popp. Ben, the executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. So we'll talk with him about this year's changes and, of course, take your questions and comments. Have you participated in the Birky? What was the experience like? What would you like to know about how this year's event will take place? You can join in a couple different ways. You can call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Ben Popp, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are still some people who haven't heard about the Birkebeiner or maybe know very much about it. So maybe remind us, how did it get started?
Well, you know, it's really an amazing story, actually, when you start to really dive into it. If you really want to go all the way back, it was 1206, and it was in the country of Norway, and they had to save this little prince that was going to be the next king of Norway. And it started a tradition of skiing 55 kilometers to save the day. And Tony Wise, who was an entrepreneur from the northern Wisconsin Hayward area, was a World War II tank commander and was over in overseas, and he saw a bunch of this skiing and thought, hey, we could bring this back to northern Wisconsin, and learned of some of the tales. And he had built the famed Telmark Resort, which was up here in Cable. And then in 1973, decided that was the time. He needed to start a race to get people to come up and enjoy the cross-country skiing and the trails of northern Wisconsin. So in 1973, 35 brave souls towed the line in Lake Hayward and skied through hill and dale to make their way up to Hayward or to Cable at that point in time. And so that was really the tradition, is when it all began back in 1973. And of course, now 40 plus years later, there's thousands and thousands of people that come from all over the world traditionally to enjoy the event. And of course, this year will be a bit different, but that's kind of how it all got started.
Yeah, it's a really cool story. I love the history of that. When did the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation take over?
So, unfortunately, Tony had some financial issues that came and went. And in 1984, was the year that the foundation was officially formed. And so it was in 1985 that the ABSF, the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation, was formed. And, you know, it's even to this day, there's staff and boards, et cetera, but it's really a huge community effort. And actually, like I said, back in 84, when the board was formed in the foundation, it was the group came together of folks and said, holy cow, this is an event that really is a defining part of our community in Hayward and Cable and all of northwestern Wisconsin. And we got to make sure it continues on, even though that the Telmark Lodge and unfortunately at that point had gone into bankruptcy. And so the whole community came together and put on the race at that point in time. And it was a lot of volunteer hours and folks chipping in wherever they could. And then as it started to gain a little bit of momentum and more people started to come, the World Lopit was formed, which was joining the American Birkebeiner to 19 other races around the world. And it really started to grow in stature, and people started traveling from all parts of the world to come to northern Wisconsin and try this ski race that at the time was 55 kilometers over really, you know, I mean, lots of hills, and it's really quite difficult. So it became the challenge. Hey, I'm going to go up to northern Wisconsin. I hear this crazy ski race up there, I'm going to go try it. And, you know, now to this day where we're getting well in excess of 13,000 people to come and do it throughout that whole week of activities, there's people that literally come from all over the world. Typically, of course, this year is going to be a little bit different, but that there's oftentimes people that come from California, Florida, Hawaii, Australia, that it might be the one time a year they actually put on their skis. So it's really an interesting dynamic because you have some of the best athletes in the world, sort of, you know, some people might know of Jessie Diggins. She won the first women's gold medal in the Olympics back in 2018. Well, she won the Coeur d'Alope here in 2008. So really some of these amazing athletes, like I said, all the way down to people that, heck, it might be the one time a year they actually pull out their cross-country skis. But it's such a festival of excitement and embracing, enjoying winter and being outside that people come from everywhere just to be a part of it.
It's really cool. You mentioned Jessie Diggins. We interviewed her a few months back about, not about the Birkebeiner, but about her life and her new book. And she's a pretty cool person. There's no doubt about that. And no doubt about the fact that it's really interesting to me that you have professionals, people, men and women who can really go. And then there's people like me, even though I haven't done it yet. people who put the skis on once in a while and still manage to get out there and do it. That's really cool, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that actually encompasses the real Birkebeiner spirit and the Birky fever, we like to call it, that it's everybody's out there challenging themselves in a different way. Again, whether you're Jessie Diggins or one of the best athletes in the world that wants to win the race and ski 50 plus kilometers in 2 hours, or there's the person out there that came from Oklahoma or New Jersey or Wisconsin for that matter that said, gosh, this is a real challenge. I'm going to, you know, train all year long or maybe not train at all. And I get to be a part of the same event and the same kind of challenge. And, you know, I think what really adds to it is that, you know, the hospitality that Northern Wisconsin really opens up the communities in this area. And it's, you know, while Hayward and Cable are obviously really the center point, I mean, people are staying hundreds of miles away just because of housing and from Ashland to Eau Claire to everywhere in between. So it really becomes the whole of Northern Wisconsin opening up to say, gosh, come on up here to Northern Wisconsin. We're going to really challenge you. But in that same time, you're going to have a great time being up here and have a lot of fun. So it's certainly something that we're proud of, and it'll be different this year, but it's still going to be a Berkey.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the differences. I was looking at your sort of the things that you've put into place, and it's absolutely amazing to me all of the planning that went into this. But let's talk first in general. This is obviously a pretty unique year. Your biggest concerns with planning the event for this year, I'm sure COVID was front and center.
Yeah, you know, COVID, you know, normally the event is a real challenge. Anytime you're going to try and bring upwards of 30 plus thousand people into a small community, obviously that's a huge challenge. Well, this year, that's not actually the challenge because, one, we're not going to have 30,000 people coming to visit. But, two, it's just all the contingencies on, first and foremost, how do we make sure that the participants are safe when they come? How do we ensure that when the participants that do come, that our community remains safe, the volunteers, the staff members, the board members, everybody that's here? And so that really became, first and foremost, what we needed to focus on. And, you know, when we opened registration way back in May, of course, we had no idea what this was gonna bring in February. And we said, boy, we'd love for people to register. We don't know if we're going to have to do it virtually or in person or some mix thereof. And so here we are. We've learned a lot since May. And you know, we've learned a lot about COVID and how, the things that we can do to prevent transmission within events. But then we've also learned a lot about what things we can do to help prevent spread of COVID and allow for safe events. And we're fortunate enough to have a series of events throughout the year. We had our first event back in September, a running event, and then we had a mountain bike race, and now we've had some subsequent ski races, and we've really learned of the different things that we can put in place to ensure that when someone comes to an outdoor event, that it can be safe. And I think some of the obvious things that, unfortunately, are often the really the cornerstones of the Berkey, the fun, the celebration, won't be a part of it this year. You know, we have big tents that everyone loves to hang it out afterwards and eat a brat and drink a beer and tell the stories. So there won't be any inside spaces this year. So you can imagine in a winter event that creates some real challenges, because those gathering points are the ones where there can be issues. The other one is transportation. You know, you stuff a full bus of people, that just doesn't work very well and isn't safe. So this year we've had to remove all of our tents and indoor spaces. We removed all of our busing. And so therefore the event, as we now spread it out over multiple days, so we said, okay, instead of having everybody race in one day, let's spread it out over 5 days where we can really reduce the number of people. Let's give people the option to do virtual. And so then that even reduced the number of people from there even further. But now we have to figure out how to get people to the start and finish without buses. There's no warm spots. And one of the things that we really came up with is people's car is, one, it's safe. It's just them in their car, so they don't have to worry about COVID. And two, it's a warm spot when we don't have big warm tents. So this year we've had to switch the course of the Birkebeiner that will actually start in Cable and it'll end in Cable. It's going to make a big loop. And the reason we're doing that is then people can, in their reduced numbers on any given day, we've rented a big space to park cars. People will drive up to the start line, park their car, get ready for the event, and then as they do their event, they're going to come back to that same location where their car is. So again, they have a warm spot. So little things like that that are really altering what you typically think of as a traditional Berkey start to really evolve. And it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we're hoping we never have to do it again, but we've now had the fortune to test it on a few of our different events, and it's worked really well, along with a few other things that we can chat about. But it's going to be a bit different, but we think also really a good experience for people out on the trail.
Well, I, given the planning, as I have it all in front of me here, or a lot of it in front of me, it's an amazing amount of planning and work that went into it, for sure. You know, Al in Stevens Point has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Al.
Hi, Larry.
What's on your mind today? Yeah.
Okay, well, you mentioned Jessie Diggins winning the Coeur d'Alope, and she's certainly doing a good job for representing the USA. But our son, a number of years ago, won the Coeur d'Alope, Joshua Tesh. And he skied, and his wife actually skied for UW Green Bay. And so he's done well for himself that way. And just a side note, I've done a couple of Coeur d'Alopes and a couple of Berkeys, and always had a great time up there. And it's good that USA is really putting out some great athletes for the United States.
Oh, well, Al, thank you so much for calling. A comment, Ben.
Yeah, you know, actually, I know, Josh, and, you know, one of the things I think that's really amazing about the sport of skiing is anybody can do it. You have little kids, you have elite athletes, you have older people, younger people, fit people, people that are just trying to lose some weight, and everything in between. But at the end of the day, we all get inspired as well by role models. And what we're really seeing now in cross-country skiing is the numbers are booming as part of the pandemic. Ski shops are sold out of skis. Clothing is flying off the racks. Actually, state parks in the state of Wisconsin are having to close on weekends because they're reaching capacity with the numbers out skiing. I mean, that's how exciting it is. And I would say, see, people like Jessie Diggins are a big part of that. You know, instead of always having your favorite football player or baseball player on the wall, we now are seeing generations of kids growing up with role models like Jessie Diggins and kids like Josh that that are really, really influential and saying, gosh, I want to be like that. And so we see people picking up this lifelong sport of skiing that they're going to get to do their whole life. And, you know, I think that's a big part of the Birkebeiner and the lifestyle. And what we want to do with the event is get people excited about being active outside, because you're going to get to do it the rest of your life.
Ben Popp, our guest today, and Al, thank you so much for calling. Ben Popp is executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. Great to have him with us to talk about the Berkey. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Dinner, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking Wisconsin sports in just a bit with our our guest, Megan Hart, a Wisconsin Public Radio sports reporter. But for now, we are talking about the Birkebeiner in Hayward. And the Berkey Week is February 24th through the 28th. And our guest, Ben Popp, executive director of the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation. Join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Shauna emailed that although her stepdad, George Alter, has passed and her mom, Helen, is in memory care, the Berkey was an important and favorite event for them for many years. They were volunteers, and when cleaning out their house, she found all kinds of Birkebeiner pins memorializing their volunteer work, which was really touching for Shauna. Kind of a nice comment there, Ben.
Yeah, you know, as I maybe mentioned earlier, it really takes a whole village to put on the Birkebeiner. You know, oftentimes in a normal year, and maybe I'm speaking as a normal year, we'll have upwards of 3,000 volunteers and shifts throughout that whole week. And so you really understand it's not just a couple people that do it. It ends up being a huge undertaking. And so, you know, it's everybody from somebody at a food station to somebody that's helping get your bib to somebody that helped groom the trail and everything in between to really bring to light what it is, this experience of like, wow, unbelievable in northern Wisconsin. And to hear some of those stories, we actually created a museum of the American Birkebeiner, the Tony Wise Museum of the American Birkebeiner, which is in, it's part of our offices in Hayward. And I'd encourage anybody that's ever in the area to stop on in once we're open back up again, as we make it through our COVID times. But it's really an amazing history. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but some of the fun facts of, you know, there's years that it's unfortunately been canceled. There's years that it's been longer and shorter. Years of, you know, all kinds of international skiers. Years that have had famous people come and do it. It's just really interesting to look at this history and some of the things that it's meant to the area and people being a part of it and how it influences them. Gosh, I myself grew up in northern Wisconsin and remember coming over to Telmark and the Birkebeiner in the late 70s and watching my parents do it and realizing, wow, this is something else. I can't wait to do it someday. And to hear those stories from others and how it's touched them and how it's inspired their lifestyle. You know, we have what we call the Birchleggers. It's a group of people that have done at least 20 Birkebeiners. And there's over 1,500 people that have done the race more than 20 times. And so you realize there's this real passion for it. And again, I often think it's not so much about the skiing only. Of course, you get out there, you challenge yourself. But again, it's really about sort of this big journey to northern Wisconsin in the middle of winter. You're going to see friends that you haven't seen in a long time. And you're just going to enjoy in this lifestyle of being active outside. So to hear those the stories like that are really inspiring and certainly what keep us moving forward.
Ernie St. Germain has participated in every race since the beginning, I guess. Will he be there?
Yes, Ernie is a real inspiration. Ernie St. Germain is an amazing man, and we talk about having role models and people that inspire us. Here's a guy that has literally done every race, has not missed a one since 1973. He is somebody that certainly inspires us as an organization, but I think think about that. Having not missed a single race from an injury or something has happened or whatever since 1973. And it's not just like going to watch a baseball game. You know, it's a really hard athletic endeavor that you need to train for. And here's a guy, amazing athlete, played, you know, minor league baseball and just an amazing scholar, somebody that we really, really, really respect. And he's somebody that we should all we'll have to tell that story a little bit better, I think, as we move into the future, because it's when you hear it, it's something that's of lore, really.
Nate in Eau Claire has a question. Nate, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. You might not know the answer to this, but I was wondering if registration for the Fat Tire Festival would be the lottery was still open. I didn't know if the race would be happening with COVID, so it's good to hear that a lot of the races are still going on.
Yeah, the Fat Tire race, there's the winter one that will be opening up and is open, and you can do that one. That's in March. And then the Schwamigan Fat Tire Festival, which is in the fall, registration, I believe, will be opening here soon. I don't think at this point in time you can register for it quite yet, but it will be opening up soon, and that's in late September when that event happens. And I think, you know, the bringing up the point of events still happening, you know, I think the community and the organizers, it's interesting, as a tourist destination up here in Hayward, there's all sorts of events going on, from different ski events, snowshoe events, fundraisers, snowmobile things. The community has worked really hard to create safe opportunities for people to still visit during these periods of time. And, you know, again, the races this year, they do look definitely different. There's not, like I said, these big groups and a lot of people wearing masks and 6 feet distancing and reduced numbers, but they're still happening, and it allows really people to still thrive off that energy and get excited about getting outside and being active and coming and doing an event.
Yeah, you bet. Ron in Cable, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was on the first ski school for cross country at Telemark. And so I kind of remember the vision that Tony had. And he had Ben Vick that fall of 72 come in and set the trails up. Then that winter we started the ski school. But what was interesting about this whole, as far as the Berkey, is that Tony in 73 said, because he was a downhill guy, said one day this whole area will be all cross country. And that's what was unique about his vision. And he helped with it. He actually helped with the Lopet, I believe. But anyway, he had such a vision, and we all have to thank him for that, obviously. Yeah. So that's a couple of things that I remember from it. And I did set the first trail track for the Berkey, which I take pride in. It was over with a snowmobile over some roads and things, and by the time the first 102 people went through, or actually 35, there wasn't much left of it because we didn't have a lot of great snow that year. That's just a few comments. And Ben, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Well, I think, thanks, Ron. And it really, I think back to like the whole community, right? It takes a whole community and the stories that happen, and Tony's vision for this to become the destination for cross-country skiing. And he was right. And certainly myself and a lot of us wouldn't be here being able to work on this if it wasn't for a visionary like Tony. And, you know, I'd be remiss to say that now Janie, his daughter, and others are helping work on rebuilding that vision that he had through Telemark and the event and whatnot. So it's exciting to see that come full circle, and certainly the whole community making it happen.
Yeah, thank you again, Ron. Mike in Winona, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. I've been skiing the Telemark trails and area since 1989, and I'm watching the Berkey Foundation and Ben reclaim and maintain a lot of those trails, including the World Cup, and I wish you all the best of luck going forward. I think it's great to see.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much for calling. Well, that's nice to hear. Tom and Muscadet, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Larry, and thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that I've cured myself of Berkey fever. I'm 75. I used to get such anxiety if we weren't getting snow down here in the southwestern part of the state. It was a great family experience with another brother and his family. One year, we had skiers from Boston, from Houston, from Phoenix, Arizona, and a nephew that came from Singapore who got his home time off just so he could travel here. And we used to run the stairwells in the high rise that he lived in Singapore to get ready for it. I did three Berkeys and maybe 10 Cordies. I froze, but I can't say enough about the people who organize it, the volunteers who work it, and the incredible citizen athletes that I witnessed up there. So I just want to thank everybody for what they've done.
Tom, thank you so much for calling. Ben, a comment, quick comment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you hear some of these stories about the history and the impact they've had on people's lives, and you think it's just a ski race. You're like, oh, just a ski race, when you realize it's so much more than just a ski race. You know, it was built with this vision of Tony Wise, than a whole community coming together to make it happen. And then the impact it has on people, really, not only for the whole year, but for the rest of their lives. And it's really exciting. And that comment about the Telmark trails is really true. Some of the best trails in North America. In fact, in 2016, USA Today voted it the best ski destination in the U.S. And the idea that these trails are now being reopened, that some of the, you know, Tony and all, Sven Vik and Ron and this group worked on so long ago, coming back to life is pretty darn exciting to see it happen.
Yeah. Ruth in Milton, your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Oh, hi. The Van Horn family and friends have been skiing in it since 1985 in both of the Coeur d'Alepud and the Birkbeiner. My son, John Van Horn, is looking forward this next week to his 30th full Birkbeiner, and I wish him lots of luck. He lives up in Minnesota.
Oh, man.
And he'll
that's
be
great.
Staying up in the cable area, Sealy. And I don't know how many other family members are going this time. I have not decided.
Well, thank you very much. And I, you know, part of this is that a lot of people are not going to, they're going to be doing it virtually, Ben. Describe that.
Yeah, you know, this is a really interesting year, and I hope I can honestly say that this will be the first time and only time ever that you're going to get to ski the Birkebeiner, not in Cable or Hayward, Wisconsin, on the Birkebeiner Trail. You know, with COVID and the obvious, you know, issues with people having to travel, it just made sense to obviously have a virtual option. And it's, one, reduces the number of people that are going to travel here, which makes it safer here. And again, for those that can't travel, it means so much to them. We want to give them this opportunity to do it virtually. So we've reached out and created a quote-unquote virtual partners from around the country where people can, you know, ski areas near them. And for that matter, you can actually do it anywhere on your own. In fact, we have people like Keegan Randall, gold medalist, Jessica Eaton, last year's champion, doing it virtually. And so the idea is, you know what? You can't be here physically, but you can be here emotionally as part of the community. So we send everybody their bibs and their hats and their ski ties and all the things they would normally get here as part of the Berkey. And then they get to ski it wherever they might be. And in fact, if you happen to be in San Diego or Florida or someplace that there isn't skiing, because I did mention some people ski once a year and it's here, we've also this year gone through and we've had somebody do a bunch of statistical analysis on what would it take to do the Berkey if you were swimming? What would it take to do the Berkey if you're mountain biking? And so we've created all these different mediums for people to do their equivalent Berkey. And we've created an app, the Berkey app, that you can download. And then people can go in and they're going to be able to record their 2021 Berkey no matter where they are virtually. And like I said, it's exciting and it's fun. But it's also, I hope, the one time in history that you can actually see the Berkey somewhere other than here.
All right. Well, let's see. One more call. John in Mount Horeb. Hi, John. Oh, we lost John. Well, we can kind of close out a little bit with Mike in Duluth. He emailed that they always enjoy listening to the Berkey Day music on WOJB, driving down for the Berkey and Cordy. You can't find most of the music apart from this. And he says the Berkey should put together all this music on a compilation disc or download. Mike says he'd buy it. So what do you think, Ben?
Yeah, you know, that actually, again, speaks to this being just so much more than a ski race. There's songs, and there's all these things that go with it. And I think he's got a great idea there, actually. We'll have to go to WOJB and see if they can help us compile, because they probably, in all honesty, have the most complete set of all the different songs that have been put together over that period of time. And, you know, so many people, that's one of the things they remember. They get to the finish, and, they're, you know, WOJB interviews them, or they get up in the morning, and they wake up with Berkey fever on their drive to the start line or whatever it might be. And I think, you know, there's no doubt the traditions this year are going to be a little bit different than usual. But, you know, hearing from some of these folks like is just true. It really is an important part of their life and something that they're proud to be a part of. And we're excited to have them a part of it.
Well, that's a great that's a great way to kind of close out here. You know, just how do people what's the website and so forth for information on this, Ben?
Yeah, you know, the best way, if you go to Birkie.com, B-I-R-K-I-E.com, there's a lot of information there, but certainly a great place to start. And from there, you can get our phone numbers, our email addresses. Birkie@Birkie.com is our general one. And, you know, we have people that are fortunate enough, we get to work on this every day, and we'd love for you to reach out, send us an email, give us a call. If you have questions about, not obviously this year, there's a lot of new things happening or different things, but just any time of the year. We'd love to chat. We love to talk Birkie, and certainly, again, any questions, reach out to us. We'd love to help you out.
Well, Ben, it's been a pleasure. You bring a lot of excitement and enthusiasm yourself to the whole thing, and it's been a pleasure talking with you about the this year's Birkebeiner. Again, it's February 24th through the 28th, and I know a lot of people are so pleased that you're able to put the event on this year. It's been a monumental task for sure. But
no doubt about
it. Yeah, we really appreciate all of your efforts and all of the efforts of all the people who work on it. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having us. And we look forward to seeing you in the Northwoods soon.
All right. Yeah, well, I tell you what, I spend a lot of time in the Hayward area and mostly muskie fishing. But I tell you what, I love that area and I love the people. So thank you again. Appreciate it very much. Well, I tell you what, we're going to turn our attention next to WPR sports reporter Megan Hart. She's back with us to talk about the latest developments in Wisconsin sports, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about with her. That coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.
Just give me to the start line, I'll be ready to go. Give me to the start line.